Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Three things you're not supposed to talk about in polite company: politics, religion, and money. Better add sports, too. And since he's not always polite company, he'll maybe address all four. Jeff Blair and The Jeff Blair Show, now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, it's 9:02. Ryan Pinder in for Jeff Blair on a Thursday. We got some baseball to talk about. Monday's trade deadline getting closer. And Jose Bautista, apparently, his name came up in conversations with the Nationals. Oh, my goodness. This is this doesn't make sense, does it? It can't make sense. Big show today with a lot of the baseball focus, of course. We'll get your calls in about 20 minutes. We'll lead off with Dan Shulman. Cliff Corcoran will stop by in the 11 o'clock hour to address some rumors around the league. It sounds like pitching's expensive, which would make sense. Did you see what the Jays gave up last year to add some arms? Yeah, well, I guess the relievers are cheap, but David Price cost you a fair amount, to be sure. And this is what the market is. Are you willing to go out and give two or three of your best prospects for a guy that might be your fourth starter in the playoffs? I suppose that's what Atkins and Shapiro are weighing, and we'll find out soon enough. By Monday, we will know what a potential postseason rotation would look like, and that is the concern. If you caught yesterday's matinee with the Padres, R.A. Dickey had one of those rough R.A. Dickey days, not one of the dazzling R.A. Dickey days. You never seem to know when which one's coming. I mean, it'd be a safer bet to say, good R.A. Dickey in the second half of the year, struggling R.A. Dickey in April and early May. That's been consistent with his, 4 years now in Toronto, 3.5 years? Seems to be results later in the year, struggles early in the year, but here we are at the end of July, and it's been rough starts, 3 in a row for the knuckleballer. And last night the home run got him, but more importantly, the 4 walks seem to hurt him. When you have a 4-hitter through 5 2/3, I think you take that. That's fine. Absolutely. The 7 runs, 6 earned, that's where things get a little bit dicey. So we'll try to make sense of exactly what the Jays will need to do for Monday. You have to think, if Sanchez to the bullpen is a real thing, they need another starter. Could you sleep if you were heading into a baseball game tomorrow and R.A. Dickey was going to the mound? I mean, maybe he gives you a dazzling 8 innings of, scattering a few hits and a few walks, but you just don't know. It is not like the night before an Estrada start, or the night before Aaron Sanchez steps onto the mound, which I don't know we're going to see in the postseason this year. So we'll see. It's going to be a challenge, to be sure, to see to pick up someone that will. You're going to have to pay, man. It's going to be expensive. Also coming up today, we will preview the Rio games from a golf perspective with Derek Ingram. He's the head coach of Canada's national golf team. He is watching amateurs today in New York. We'll be down to Rio soon. And we'll check in with Gord Stellick in the 11 o'clock hour to talk all things hockey. But baseball leads off today, and no better man to do so with us this morning than Dan Shulman, the great Dan Shulman. How are you today, Dan?
Thank you, Ryan. I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm curious. There's the weirdest rumor I've heard all year just sort of leaked out. What was it, late last night, early this morning, is Jose Bautista's name came up with the Nationals. It really goes against everything I thought I knew about the trade deadline in the majors. What did you think when you saw it?
I don't think it's a shock to have virtually anybody's name come up, but the Blue Jays obviously are looking for pitching, and if they have to trade a bat off their current roster to do it, maybe they will, but I think it's very unlikely. I mean, first of all, he would have to approve a trade. He's a 10-5 guy, 10 years in the majors, 5 with his current team, so he's got full no-trade protection. So, after last year, whoever thought the Jays would get Price, whoever thought the Jays would package Reyes and get Tulowitzki, so you never want to say never, but I think it's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, I guess what we're used to seeing is a pile of prospects and high-end prospects for a roster player of a team that isn't good. Two teams both heading to the playoffs, swapping roster players. That's the kind of deal we don't see.
Yeah, it is unusual, but, you know, because they're in opposite leagues, and if they have opposite needs, then, you know, then perhaps there's a fit. But, I think it's very unlikely. You know, they've got Upton, so they've got another outfielder now if they were to make a trade of that magnitude. And Bautista's obviously not having, you know, his typical year, and he's just come back from an injury and so forth. But for a variety of reasons, I still think it's highly unlikely. My guess is Bautista's a Blue Jay through the end of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Not that my opinion matters nearly as much as yours, but it just seems to make more sense that way. But one final one on this hypothetical, and maybe it was just his name popped up and it wasn't a long, thorough discussion trying to hammer out a deal. That would make sense that maybe you just inquired about a guy and you move along to the next conversation. But do you see either team having enough of A, pitching in Washington, or B, hitting in Toronto to actually say we're going to give up a roster player and think we're better for a World Series run?
I see the Jays having potentially enough hitting to give up to get more pitching. I don't know if I see the Nationals having enough pitching. Their overall bullpen ERA is very good, but they've had some high-profile issues in the bullpen recently. Papelbon's had a couple of ugly ones, and I don't know that they'd be trading anything out of their bullpen. I think they're actually going to try to add something to their bullpen. They've got a very good starting rotation, but the Blue Jays have a very good starting rotation. So, you know, the other thing is they got a right fielder by the name of Bryce Harper, who's a pretty good ballplayer. So,
he's all right, yeah.
You know, if they were to get Bautista, they've got to move Harper. Maybe they put Harper in center field, which is not beyond the realm of comprehension. But, you know, I think there's more smoke than fire on this one. I'd be really surprised if it happens.
What is your take on the Sanchez situation? He has been great. He has not looked fatigued. Do we necessarily have to see fatigue for things to not go well as this workload increases? Well, this is confusing.
Yeah, it's tough to know. I mean, this has been the big topic for the Jays all season long and will continue to be, I think, until a decision is made. My only point on this is I don't know enough, and I don't know if anybody knows enough, to know that putting him in the bullpen makes him safer. It's one thing to shut a guy down and say, okay, we need to protect your future. You're going to get to 150 or 160 or whatever the number is, and then you're done. To put him in the bullpen, I just don't know if that's any safer. If he's going to pitch three times a week, you know, get up, sit down, high leverage situations, coming in with men on base, I don't know that there's evidence out there that suggests that he's safer. The acquisition of Benoit, and even before this I thought that, but the acquisition of Benoit makes me think even more that it's not 100% that they're going to send him to the bullpen. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe it's now, maybe it's later. But I think there's a chance they're going to let this ride. And I almost think he's complicated things for them being management, in a great way by pitching as well as he has. If he were 6-8 with a 3.95 ERA, mm-hmm. You put him in the bullpen because he'd be having an average year in the rotation. But he's been as good a starter as there's been in the American League. And I think they're kind of holding their breath and watching him start to start. And there are no signs of him showing fatigue. And if anything, he appears to be getting stronger. So I think there's a chance they're going to leave him. I think they're nervous about it, but I think there's a chance they might leave him in the rotation.
Man, flags fly forever. That's what they say. And I tell you what, if there was a game one of a World Series or a divisional series or a championship series tomorrow, is that not the guy you would first give the ball to if they're all ready to rock?
Absolutely. I mean, Estrada, if he's healthy, if he, you know, if his back's okay, he's had a great season. Hap's had a great season. But if innings are not an issue, you know, in a hypothetical world, and if Sanchez is totally fine, if this is Sanchez and he's fine the rest of the way, he's the game one starter. I mean, he's got power stuff, a ton of confidence, and I think he'd be the first choice.
It's funny, we really know where everyone in the media stands on this, and a lot of the pundits have made it clear what they would do in this situation. A lot of people saying, okay, there are reports that say if your workload increases by X percent, your likelihood of your arm exploding is greater. Keith Law is a guy that has completely denounced it, saying, look, there just isn't enough data to say this is factual and that you're doing any service to the player by moving him to the bullpen where he's not getting as much rest. Do you get a sense of where the Blue Jays front office is on this? I mean, Gibbons said it's going to happen inevitably, but he's not the GM either.
No, and he's kind of backed off that a little bit now. And, you know, as I said, I don't think it's inevitable. I think they're watching him start by start and you know, talking to him, looking for signs. And I think there's some evidence to support that, you know, raising your innings too much from one year to the next can be a problem, but I don't think it's a black and white situation. And again, I don't think we know enough to know if he'd be any safer in the bullpen. You know, I heard the point, and granted it's a different era, but I heard somebody make the point yesterday. I think it was McCown made the point yesterday. You know, Jimmy Key went from the bullpen to the rotation, pitched over 200 innings. Pat Henkin did the same thing. David Wells, big increase in innings. None of them got hurt.
Yeah.
Now, times have changed, and more guys get hurt now than ever before, and I think that's the biggest problem there is in baseball, is figuring out why all these pitchers get hurt. But I don't know that there's evidence to say that he's any safer in the bullpen than he is in the rotation, as I said. So it's not like they're saying we're going to shut him down. In terms of where they're standing, you know, Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro aren't saying very much. And I think that's because I think this is still a fluid situation. I'm not sure that the decision has necessarily been made at this time.
Yeah, and if you're a poker player, why tell people what cards you have? I mean, they may know exactly what they're going to do.
Even if they have made a decision, why tell people? But, you know, and Aaron Sanchez himself is saying all the right things about it. I mean, he understands the concern. It's not like he's being punished. It's because they want to keep him healthy for the long run, because this guy's got a chance to have a phenomenal career. At the same time, he's, you know, arguably the best pitcher right now on a team that has a chance to go to into the playoffs and maybe make a deep run in the playoffs, and that's pretty tantalizing stuff too.
Yeah, I'd agree. And you know what? If they do have the stomach to hold Sanchez in the starting rotation through to the playoffs, I mean, that would be admirable in many measures, in the sense that you're somewhat bucking what people seem to think is the right thing to do. And yet, there's not a ton of science to back it up, as we mentioned. And I would be happy if you had, say, Sanchez, Estrada, Hap, Stroman, or some such order that, you know, switches speeds and handedness. But I just get a little worried if you're going to have to pen R.A. Dickey onto a playoff roster, not because he isn't serviceable, but because you just don't know when a game like yesterday's is going to pop up.
Right, and that's always been a concern with Dickey. And I think there is less of a feeling of consistency with him than any other pitcher. In the rotation, the knuckleball is a part of that. It's just part of throwing the knuckleball. So, you know, whether Sanchez is in there or not, I think there's some hesitation about having Dickey in a playoff roster. And if Sanchez goes to the bullpen, in my opinion, they have to go out and get a starting pitcher. This team is too good in other areas to just roll the dice with what they have minus Sanchez in the rotation. So I don't think they can move him unless they're going to go out and get another starting pitcher, but, you know, it's a tough market for that kind of stuff. And if they do go out and get another starting pitcher, but they decide to leave Sanchez in the rotation, then what do? They got six guys. So there are a lot of moving parts, and I'm convinced, you know, day by day, if not hour by hour, this situation can take on a different look, not publicly, but for Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins.
Yeah, no, well said. If they don't add an arm, you would understand. The cost is extremely high. Middle of rotation guys, teams are wanting top prospects out of your organization, plural. If they don't add a guy, can we just say, well, the prices were expensive and, you know, they're worried about being competitive down the road? Or can we say, look, maybe this is them indicating they are comfortable with Sanchez staying in the rotation?
Well, yeah, there's two different scenarios there. So if they don't add a starting pitcher but leave Sanchez in the rotation, then I think they can say this is the group we're going with, and they chose to make their additions in the bullpen with Grilly and Benoit. If they move him to the bullpen and don't add a guy, I think that's going to be a tough pill to swallow, because now you're depending on Estrada's back to be good, and hopefully it is. You're depending on Stroman to be more consistent than he was in the first half. You're depending on Dickey to be not the Dickey that he's been the last three starts, and then you're probably depending on Drew Hutchison as well. And I think that's a lot of ifs for a team that has World Series aspirations. So if they are going to move him, I think they have to get somebody, even if the price is high. And they're not going to get a David Price type guy, a Chris Sale, they're not going to do that. But, you know, whether it's a Matt Shoemaker, a Jake Odorizzi, a 3-4 guy, a guy who can step in and eat up some innings and give the offense a chance to do its thing, you know, I think they could go and do that without really getting rid of their top prospects right now. But again, it's all in conjunction with Sanchez. Yeah, I don't think you can make one decision without the other. I don't know if there's a smart way in terms of, you know, which is the chicken and which is the egg, but they have to be made in conjunction with one another, and I'm sure they are being made in conjunction with one another.
Yeah, not easy to do, because he might look great today, and then all of a sudden these signs of fatigue could show up in 2 weeks, and guess what? It's too late for the non-waiver deadline, right?
Yeah, now they can make a trade after August 1st until August 31st. They can pick up a guy who's eligible for the playoff roster. It's just somebody who has to clear waivers. So what that basically means is somebody who's got a big contract, a contract that you don't want to pick up. Those are the kinds of guys who are clearing waivers. So they'll be out there, but it's not as easy to make a trade in August.
What did you make of the Benoit addition in terms of sending Storen out to Seattle and bringing in an older, but a guy, a reliever that still has a lot of velocity?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, Benoit before this year has been great. Like, not good, but great as a setup guy for a variety of teams. His velocity is still there. His command has been off this year. His walks are up, and he walked two yesterday in his Blue Jay debut, and that's been hurting him a lot. But at this point, I think they knew the Storen thing had to end. I mean, they weren't going to get anything out of Storen. It wasn't going well on any level. So they ate a little money. They evened out the contracts a little bit, or picked up a little bit of Storen's money in order to get Benoit. To me, Benoit has a better chance of being good here than Storen had a chance of being good here. So in my mind, the bullpen, while still not rock solid, this is the best the bullpen has been all year. They have Grilly. They didn't have him at the beginning of the year. They have Benoit, who in my opinion is a better bet than Storen. They have Cecil back, and although that's not a lock right now, it's better than not having Cecil and him being on the DL. They can get a look at Morales over the next few days and see what he offers. So I don't think it's a great bullpen, but I think it's a better bullpen than it was earlier in the season by far.
Yeah, and if it follows a rotation that's given more innings to their team than any other team in the league, that would be good. But then again, we're back to the whole conversation about who exactly is in that rotation for the Blue Jays. The other acquisition made earlier in the week, Melvin Upton Jr. comes in. He finally got a start. It feels like finally, but it's only been 2 days. What have you made of the early goings? Have you chatted with him? It's not going to be an everyday role for him, it looks like. Is that something he's okay and ready to deal with the pedigree and the stardom that he had earlier in his career?
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, long after the pedigree and the stardom, he had two horrendous years in Atlanta, like horrendous years, where he just about played himself out of the big leagues. But he's been better in San Diego the last couple of years. You hope he'll be okay with it. He could have a bigger role in 2017 than he has this year with Bautista's contract up and Saunders' contract up. You don't know how that's going to play out in the offseason. He's not a savior. He's a piece. He can play some defense. He's got some speed. He can hit lefties. He's going to strike out a lot. He's not going to hit for a great average, and he doesn't take a lot of walks. I mean, he's got his positives, and he's got his some holes in his game as well. But I can see him being a three-time. I'm not sure he's going to play 5-6 games a week. I could see him playing against lefties. They can move Bautista to DH and move Encarnacion to first, and they can sit Smoke because Smoke hits righties better than lefties. They could sit Saunders against a lefty every now and again, although Saunders has hit lefties very well. And they could even give Pilar a day off every now and again because the guy plays every inning of every game. So I think Upton definitely has a purpose and a place on this team. Ezequiel Carrera had a phenomenal 3-4 weeks, but I think, kind of leveled off again to the player that it appears that he is and has been over his career. So I think Upton, gives the Blue Jays some more flexibility and a couple more tools than Carrera has. But he can get crazy hot for a while, and then he can get crazy cold for a while. But overall, he's a nice player. I don't think he's a star, and I don't, he looked like it, as you said, his first couple of years, 21, 22 years of age, he looked like he would be. That's a long time ago. He's 31 years old now, and there's a lot more evidence to suggest he is what he appears to be now. A 250 hitter with some pop and some speed. And I think he'll help them, but I don't think he should be looked upon as a savior by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, at worst, I would think he's a really good late-game substitution because he gives you better defense in a corner outfield position, and he could pinch run and do better than anyone else on the roster at this point, right?
Yeah, there's no question. He can come in defensively for Saunders late in the game. He can pinch run. He can give Bautista a partial day off if they're going to DH Bautista. So he can do a variety of different things, but I don't think it involves playing every day. So as long as he's okay, and he said all the right things when he came in, as long as he's okay with the role, then he understands the big picture. Two of the outfielders on the team are free agents at the end of the season. So, right now you'd like to think that a guy who's been around as long as he has values the opportunity to potentially go to the playoffs and play for a championship, even if it means somewhat of a lesser role, and then you figure out next year.
Last one for you, Dan. How is Jose Bautista going to be used down the stretch? You do, as you mentioned, have more flexibility in the outfield. Do we see first base appearances? Is there going to be a lot of DHing? How do you anticipate this playing out?
I don't see first base. I see mostly right field and some DH. And roughly, again, as I said, against lefties, you could see Upton in the outfield, Bautista DHing Encarnacion at first, Smoknot in the lineup. Against righties, Smoke at first, Encarnacion DH, Bautista in right. I mean, that it's not going to be like that black and white. I mean, some of it depends how Smoke hits. Some of it depends how Upton hits. And some of it depends how Bautista hits, and even, maybe even more so, how he looks in the outfield. So I don't think they're – I think they have some flexibility, which is good. I don't think they're locked into a plan right now. And, you know, you can never account for injuries, obviously, but if everybody's healthy, I think you look at performance and production. And, you know, again, with some older players, you know, maybe, you know, Tulowitzki gets a day off after a night game. Maybe Bautista every now and again gets a day off after a night game. So I think if you're John Gibbons, you you don't plan too far out. You know, you read your team. You see how they're doing and how they're feeling and who needs a break or a breather here and there, and you react accordingly.
Pleasure catching up. We will see what unfolds before Monday's first of two deadlines. Dan, always a pleasure. When do we get you next on the TV?
For doing a Jays game, it'll be when they go to New York, middle of August, not for about three more weeks.
Love it. It's gonna, that end of the schedule looks unbelievable. Enjoy the time away from the Jays. We obviously will follow you elsewhere and, of course, on Twitter at @DSchulman_ESPN. Thanks for your time.
You got it. Thank you.
Dan Schulman, the great Dan Schulman. As for the next Jays action, it'll come tomorrow. What's your thoughts? Lots there. 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone, on your mobile phone, on the phone that has no strings attached to a wall. Are you buying this Bautista stuff? Listen, I think if there's a group of people that would buy in, I've heard the Jays talk on six nights a week with Wilner. A lot of people have been clamoring for a Bautista trade, as silly as that is in my mind. It seems, if it makes sense to anyone, It's this fan base that I don't know has completely grasped that this isn't hockey. You're not going to lose a guy for nothing. There is compensation for Bautista if he signs elsewhere, as there is for Edwin, as there is for Saunders. I think you probably would qualify all three of those players at $16-plus million, and if they sign elsewhere, you get a first-rounder. And I think you, unlike other sports, which, you know, maybe were the sports we grew up on, in hockey, when 22 years of not making the playoffs is a pretty good way to not pay attention to a certain sport, and that's what we saw with the Blue Jays. This is a chance to win a championship, and you lose free agents at the end of the year. Who cares if you have a great year? Is anyone completely upset now that David Price isn't here? I know at the time when Boston signed him, there was frustration, but have you lost your mind because David Price is not around? No, it was something you paid up for, and it was worth it because you had a whale of a run. You ran away with the AL East. You got some playoff gates. And for the first time in 22 years, that building was a madhouse in October. Let's go to the phone lines. Amanda in Hamilton, thoughts on Bautista trade rumor. Are you buying this? Is this a good idea?
I think that from a practical standpoint, if it means that we can keep Eddie, you know, if it means we're bringing in a slightly younger crew, that it's a good thing. However, I feel like a lot of Canadians are very emotionally attached to Bautista, and whether or not that should play in, it's a business. I get it. However, he has given us one of the greatest moments in Canadian history, and he has been a definitive leader for the team. He has done wonderful things for this team in the last 5 years, or however long he's been with us. I actually don't know, but all because I don't remember a time when Bautista wasn't with the Blue Jays. So I just think that there has to be something has to be said for what he has done for the team. But I also get the fact that decision, like that aspect of it, needs to be separate from actually making any trade decisions. I just think that there, a lot of people are clamoring for him, but that's just because he hasn't been on the field for 30 games. So, or he wasn't before he came back this week. So I think that, you know, people, we can be a fickle fan base. And I think that people maybe sometimes forget what he has done, and I just think that, you know, he has been a very large part of the heart of this team, and I think that he will continue to do that for the next few years. I don't think he deserves 7 years, which is apparently what he was asking, but I think we give him maybe three, we take him up to his 40s, and then we just see what happens. I just, you know what, I think that he is an integral part of the emotional aspect of the Blue Jays, and the Jays thrive on the emotional aspect of their own team, right?
Well, so, hey, listen, I'll give you this, Amanda. You're absolutely right that this is a guy that fans love, but I don't know that whether he leaves in free agency in the fall or the winter, or if he leaves via trade, I think the chances of him returning are not great. Thanks for the call. And you're right. I mean, the bat flip is an iconic moment in Canadian sporting history. It sounds crazy to say that less than a year later, but it is. Where were you? You can tell me, right? If you watched that thing, you knew exactly where you were. I mean, I remember being in a pub in Calgary, and the cable was cutting in and out. We were furious. It was happening while the throwback to the mound of Russell Martin hits the bat of, Chu? And that whole debacle, we switch bars as they're figuring that out, go to the next place, it's rammed, the bat flips there, you're high-fiving strangers, hugging people you've never met before. I mean, that was one of those moments. That was the golden goal in Vancouver for the Olympics. I mean, it is one of those huge moments. We all know where we were, but I don't think that changes that Bautista can negotiate with 30 teams in the winter. And if you're Jose Bautista, there might be some sort of emotional tie to Toronto. Certainly an emotional tie, but is it worth $20 million? Is it worth $60 million? Is it worth $90 million? Probably not. And we can say, oh, I would do this, I would do that. Well, have you really been in the position of saying no to tens of millions of dollars? Let's go to Mark in Midtown. Mark, your thoughts on Dickey and Bautista.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? Quickly, regarding Bautista, I think his most value is with us. If you were to shop him today, I mean, and the trade deadline is this weekend, really, realistically, especially coming off of the injury that he came off of, and he hasn't done much since then, what are you really going to get for him? Are you going to get a Gio Gonzalez from Washington? I mean, are you going to get, a solid frontline starter? It's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, and that's even if he said he would go. So I just think the whole idea of people clamoring for him to get traded, you're not going to get a whole heck of a lot more than the draft picks that you're going to get this summer this fall anyway. So the most value right now of Jose Bautista is to the Toronto Blue Jays. Anybody else that picks him up, they're going to try to get him on a bargain, and that's not going to benefit anybody, and he'd probably get insulted by it. So, I can't see that happening in any way. Quickly regarding R.A. Dickey as well, I have to defend him. I'm sorry. The people who were talking about throwing him under the bus, when you put things in a certain perspective, if you want to call him our number five starter, that's fine. Look at another number five starter in the AL on a contending team that is as good as him. There aren't any. He's given us, if he's a 500 pitcher, that's not bad for our number five guy. And if we were to lose him for whatever reason, what are we going to get? How are we going to replace him? It's not like we're just going to pull, a guy who, a 10-3 starter out of somebody's butt. It's not going to happen. What we have of R.A. Dickey, I'm not certain that I would trust him on the playoff roster. You could certainly make that argument. But between now and the end of the season, he's a guy who's going to give you your innings. I mean, I know that's a bit of a cliche by now, but there's something to be said for that. And if you think that you're going to get something better if you dump him, again, that's just pie in the sky. I get a bit of a sense of the fan base that there's this sense of entitlement. Like, we deserve this, or you owe this to us. Well, the team is going to do what it can to improve itself. But throwing Bautista away for nothing, throwing Dickey away and getting nothing in return and having to replace those innings, that's not benefiting the team. I mean, you do that, I guarantee you, by the end of the season, that same fan base is going to be a lot more angry and upset than they are right now. Anyway,
agreed.
That's my rant. I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say.
No, good thoughts, Mark. I'm with you on both. With Dickey, he's absolutely a quality arm at the back of the rotation. I mean, you're absolutely right. Where does he file in against the number fives in Boston and Baltimore? He's fine. He's better. He's absolutely better. Do the number fives on all these other teams eat 210 innings a year, which is basically what he's given you since he got to Toronto? Of course not. And I also agree on the playoff front. If you can find four guys you trust more, then I'm fine with him not being on that playoff roster. It's exactly like Burley last year, right? You knew the value was in the innings. He had some really good starts. He had some uglier ones at the end of the year. And, it probably stung a bit if you're Mark Burley, your last year in the league, you just narrowly missed 200 innings and you're not on the playoff roster. But, hey, that's baseball. And I don't think people were viewing Burley in the same light they're doing Dickey this year. And I don't know that they're that dissimilar. Burley got blown up. Burley was great. You didn't really know when one or the other was going to happen, and that's kind of what you got in Dickey this year. As for Bautista, I agree. If you think you're going to improve your chances of a World Series by trading him, I just don't think that's the market out there. I think if you want to move Bautista, you're a team that's rebuilding. You're a team that's trying to get prospects. Prospects aren't hanging banners this fall. They just aren't. Bautista certainly could help. I mean, go back to last year. If Bautista's not there and you got some kids in AAA, do we see a bat flip? Do they even get through Texas? Probably not. Next, let's go to Paul in Hamilton. Your phone number is 888-666-0590. Paul, thoughts?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I totally agree with you on Dickey. He's a back-of-the-end rotation guy. Fifth starter, no problem. The only problem with that is the baggage called Josh Toley that comes with him. If you had a catcher that was productive out there, then it would make a difference. But, you know, Dickey, to me, you don't get rid of him. His innings matter, especially when you have still not knowing what's going on with Sanchez. That's going on with Estrada's back. But I don't think Dickey's on the playoff roster. So that speaks that. As far as Bautista goes, the only way I trade Bautista is if you get a two or a three starter back, such as a Gio Gonzalez from
Washington. You're not. Yeah, and you're just not. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to jump all over you, but come on. Who is trading a number two or three at this point? And for an expiring contract. If you're a contender, you keep your twos or your threes. If you're a team that's rebuilding, you don't want a contract that expires in the fall. If you're going to trade two or three in your San Diego or your Arizona or your Minnesota or someone that's not going to the playoffs, you want to get prospects back or someone with team control, not a guy who can sign with anyone in months.
Exactly. So then what's the point even talking about trading? Like, I would, if you could get that in a perfect world, and then go out and get a Jay Bruce as well, you know, to replace Bautista. So that way you've got a left-handed power bat instead of a right-handed bat. And you've also got control for next year with Upton, Pilar, and Bruce. Then it makes sense. But unless you're going to get that back for him, even though he's struggling right now, coming up, you know, he hardly had any rehab anyway. So these are rehab games for him. But unless you're going to get that back and it's not out there, then don't move him. Because
and you're not. You're just not getting it, Paul. Yeah. You're not. You know it.
Exactly.
I know it.
So
GMs know it. And that's why this is silly. And that's why this report out of Washington, even the guy that tweeted it was like, well, this is a little silly. But, I mean, this came with a huge grain of salt. This was an iceberg-sized piece of salt that came with this rumor. And it's fun to talk about because this is sports talk radio and this is what we do. But realistically, let's look at this league and how it operates at deadlines. This is not the type of player that moves. This is not the type of deal that's made contender to contender. It would be completely against the grain of what we see, and it does not help the Jays this year. And I'm sorry. Is this not their best chance to win a World Series right now? Of course it is. Is it next year? No. Last year was pretty good, but right now, before Edwin theoretically can leave, before Bautista theoretically can leave, before Saunders could get cut loose, before, you know, Dickey is gone. Not that he's a guy you're going to play in the playoffs, but this is your chance to win right now. Want more calls? 888-666-0590. There's a lot here. What do you do with Dickey? Are you fine with him in the rotation? Could you sleep if he had to play in the playoffs? And of course, the Bautista rumor, I'm not buying. Maybe you are. Tell me I'm wrong. It's the Orioles and the Blue Jays tomorrow, Sportsnet 590 and Sportsnet Ontario in 4K, also on Sportsnet Now. It'll be Kevin Gausman against Marco Estrada, who was slated to start yesterday. A little extra time for Marco and that wonky back that he re-aggravated back in Philadelphia, a month and a bit ago, around the same time Jose got injured, wasn't it? We'll have Blue Jays Central tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. getting you set for that one. First pitch just after 7 right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. More calls when we come back. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
No Jeff Blair today. Ryan Pender in. The Calgarian Cowboy? No one's ever called me that. Good to talk some baseball, though, which is the topic du jour with the trade deadline Monday, with Jose Bautista trade rumors out there, which make no sense. And, of course, with the thought of Ari Dickey and what we saw yesterday potentially showing up in a playoff game. Let's get back to the phone lines. 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. Alan in Toronto, thoughts on Bautista and what we see down the stretch here?
Bautista, keep him. First caller, Amanda, says give him a 3-year contract. And as Scarlett O'Hare and Gone with the Wind would say, we won't worry about that now. We'll worry about that tomorrow. You know, if I was editor of a sports magazine here in Toronto, my headlines would be in big, bold, capital letters. Jose Bautista is facing his greatest challenge. And the next 2 months, they're either going to break or they're not going to make or break his career. You know, he has to impress in view of the fact that he's entering free agency. And I talked to John Kruk a few years ago while I was driving into the States. And he said players play best when they are challenged, and he is challenged now, so he's going to have to want to impress. I'm looking for two big months for him coming up. So, you know, and as far as Dickey is concerned, let him walk at the end of the year on the basis of his age. You know, I may sound like an ageist, but, you know, keep him for this year, but let him walk at the end of this year as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And ageism is a thing in sports. I mean, in the real world, you can't, hey, I have a store. You're over 60. You can't shop here. That's not allowed. In baseball, in hockey, in sports, yeah. Do you want a 46-year-old running back in the NFL? No. Ageism is a thing in sports. You're right. And, hey, look, he served the purpose. It was not the guy you thought you were getting necessarily when you moved Syndergaard and Darnold, but he is giving you 200 innings every bloody year, and he will again this year. And then, okay, you look internally, there are probably some options to backfill. There were conversations about Osuna going back into the rotation earlier this season. I don't know that that's still a thing that's better than 50-50. I don't know that it ever was. But look, they've all of a sudden, they're pretty flush in arms. Next year, if you're going to have Sanchez, Estrada, Hap, Stroman, go find a five. That's not the end of the world. Is it Hutchison? Maybe. Go ahead and improve on Hutchison. Go do that. That's fine. I'm with you on Dickey, and you're right on Bautista. This is a massive stretch of baseball for him financially. Also for his legacy in Toronto. What, you know, if he is going to leave, what will we remember him for? At this point, it's the bat flip. And I think he'll always be associated with that. But was it the 1 year he made it to the playoffs as a Blue Jay? Or was it the teams he was a part of those final years in Toronto that were spectacular, that got to the playoffs, that ended a 22-year drought, that created memories in a new generation of Jays fans? If they get back to the postseason this year and he is a central figure, and he should be, he's a great hitter. And yes, these are kind of like, you know, rehab at bats. He's hardly played any baseball at single A or triple A before getting here after the toe issue. He's going to be better than he's been. I don't think he's going to finish the year hitting 226 or wherever he's at. This is a guy that walks a ton. He gets on base. And I do think there's a lot of big hits left this year. Good thoughts there. I would think absolutely that this is a crucial stretch. And we'll see what he's made of. And let's be frank here. This has been a team-first guy as much as that's not the way he's necessarily represented. Would you in your contract year, as a guy that's played cleanup or hitting third most of your career, offer to hit leadoff? That's not a selfish, I need to make money in the market decision, right? Your RBI totals probably get hurt a little bit there. Maybe you score a few more runs, but I think that this is a guy that wants to win. And while he is very aware of, you know, his brand and what he thinks he's worth, I don't think that this is a guy that says me first, team second, as much as that's the way some in, you know, this city portray him. Let's go to John in Toronto. John, your thoughts.
What are you going to get that's better than Jose Bautista to
Nothing.
Play on this team?
And no.
Who is going to want him? You made the great point. Name one team like a Minnesota or Atlanta that's going to want that guy. He's 37. They want guys that are 22. He's, you know, he's a great player. He's going to go to a team. If he goes to a team, he's going to go to your competition, which is worse, right?
No, I'm exactly with you. Imagine this, John. Imagine, like, do you watch a little hockey? You're a Leafs fan when they're good every other decade?
Yeah.
So imagine if they last year picked up Andrew Ladd at the deadline. Like, what? That would make no sense, right? It would not make any sense. That's what we're talking about here. A team that's willing to give up a two or a three is not going to want a guy who's expiring in a couple months in terms of his contract.
The other thing is, if you trade him to a contender, then you're going to face that team in October yourself.
Or you might not, because your lack of Bautista, you don't get there. No, I think it's insanity, John. I think we're on the same page here. This is a thing that sounds crazy.
Two is, I wish this team would put to bed all this, and I just heard Dan Shillman on your show, you know, this whole Aaron Sanchez business. I agree, like, what are you going to do with the cards or whatever, but the guy's going for the Cy Young Award. Like, come on. You know, you're going to put him in the bullpen when he can win a Cy Young, and without him in the rotation in the playoffs, they have zero chance of winning.
Well, I wouldn't say zero, but I hear what you're saying. They're much better with him on the starting mound, right? Like, if he's on the mound, you're really happy with a playoff game, aren't you?
You have a chance of winning with him on the mound.
Darn right. What is it, 10 straight decisions?
What's that, sorry?
Yeah, it's like 10 straight decisions for him have been victories. Like, that's the guy you want game one. The problem is the universe we live in, fear is a powerful thing. And I don't know if the science completely backs it up, but there's a lot of fear about big workloads.
50 innings the year before he pitched 220. It was 150 innings more the next year that he pitched, and You know, I'll take his career anytime.
No, absolutely. The problem is back in that day, you didn't have the total rash of Tommy John surgeries and teenagers getting their first ones done, 20-year-olds getting their second Tommy John. It's crazy. Guys just didn't get injured before. I don't know what it is. I should ask Dan that. He mentioned it. You know, the biggest mystery and problem in baseball, why are pitchers getting injured more as we have more science, more data, you know, better training techniques, more information? Why with more information are we getting worse outcomes? Injuries are crazy. I can't explain it. Let's go to Tom in Waterloo. Tom, thoughts on the rotation?
Yeah, I just wondered, I've heard all these names, but who are we getting that's any better than Hutch?
You know, well, how good is Hutch? That would be the question I have for you.
I don't know, but the guys I'm hearing aren't that great either. So,
well, did you like Cashner the other day, Tuesday against Toronto? I mean, that guy's better than Hutchison. I don't know that he's worth top two prospects, anyway, but he's better than Hutch, isn't he?
Just, I'm not sure. I don't know the men, but yeah. I'm just wondering, just a thought.
So, are you of the mind that Hutch should go into the rotation if Sanchez is out? That's sort of the premise this argument's based around.
Well, that Sanchez thing, I don't know where. But, you know, that's just going nowhere, that's what. I can't see him coming out, actually. But
no, there's guys better than Hutch out there, but, Tom, I think the point would be, what do you have to pay to get them, right? Like, there's a lot of pitchers that will move that are better than Hutch, but Hutch, you don't have to trade two or three of your best prospects.
And,
so,
and we don't have any high prospects to trade, so.
Well, there's a few, but they're not top 15 in baseball prospects. And after last year, I mean, what do you think's left in the cupboard? That was a pretty good cleaning job they did. They wiped out a lot of big names. You think of Castro, Hoffman, Boyd, the lefty Norris. I mean, that's just to name a few. And those were all sort of organizational top prospects. I see the dilemma, Tom. I really do.
I just a thought. Anyway, Batista, I can't see anybody buying him for 2 months.
It's the wrong situation.
It's a tough call.
The Blue Jays are the type of team that would pick up a Batista, right? This is our year to make a run. So why in the world did they trade him? Not happening. I just don't see it. I really don't. We'll get back to your Jays conversation in the 10:30-ish slot. Arden Zwelling is going to join us. We'll sort of flush out some of exactly what Tom was talking about. Who are the upgrades and what are they costing? All this talk about Jays need another starter. Jays need another starter. Oh, got to get another starter. Oh, Dickey can't be in the rotation. What about Sanchez going to bullpen? I get all that, but is the price just too high? This management team is used to working with a very, very limited budget. They're used to diving in the bargain bin. They're used to finding value. These are absolutely value hounds. This is like that uncle of yours who somehow made it in life after growing up not wealthy, and he's still buying like dollar loaves of bread that are 2 days old. I don't know that you can unlearn value or uncovet value. I just think it's going to be really tough. If they're asking for two or three of your best prospects for a guy that isn't really that much better than anyone you have, to come in and be a four, is it possible they just say no? Maybe it is. When we return, we will chat Olympic golf. And remember Jared Dutoit just last weekend? What a story it was at Glen Abbey. An amateur outplays our Olympic golf team by quite a large measure. We'll talk to all three of those gentlemen have the same coach. He's next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.